Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for an episode about outsiders. JP tells us a story about the weirdest kid in class. We'll uncover a secret FBI recording. Nashville singer-songwriter Darren Bradbury brings us his off-kilter country. And Phil Proctor and Jamie Elcroft return with their boomers on a bench.
Hey, Julie, do you think that I should go with the bright pink or the hot pink?
For your shorts?
No, for the outside of the house.
Oh, what about camouflage?
Well, that's not a bad choice, a little bold. But what about the stereo? Should I put it up on the roof and blare Ride of the Valkyries, or put it on the porch and play dueling banjos?
Well, if I know our neighbors, and I don't, they'll have a little something called Spanish Flea by Herb Alpert.
Of course. Why didn't I think of that?
At 3 a.m.
Perfect.
We're going to fit right in this neighborhood.
Just like we do every neighborhood.
This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And on the other microphone, she almost makes me look normal, Julie Van Dusen. The outsider, outcast, on the fringes. He can be good or he can be bad. He might have just walked away one day, or maybe they chased him out. Sometimes he's a cat lady. Once in a while, he's an old socialist. And you know, you can't have insiders without him because, well, you have to have somewhere to be inside from, right? And it's true what they say, you can't judge a book by its cover. I guess if it's, you know, human skin suits for dummies or something like that, go ahead. But most of the time, that's how it is. The ideas, they come walking in from left field. You get one wily enough and, well, the world isn't flat anymore. And outside is in.
On the outside looking in, if you're standing straight, I spin. I'm as fly as crow, and you know it's so that I won't come down again. I'm a ne'er-do-never-well. Fledgling plucked and fell. I'm a big old stone and I'm rolling straight to hell.
Let me tell you the story of a little boy who everyone laughed at. He didn't fit in. He had a peculiar way of talking, and he couldn't make eye contact, and well, he smelled like peanut butter. But his kind mother told him that he was just special and to be true to himself no matter what anyone said. And that little boy grew up to be a huge weirdo. Well, that's from my book, Chicken Soup from My Sock. You can order it by taking off your shoe and hitting yourself over the head. You know, they say that cat ladies, you know, those ladies who obsessively take in stray cats, well, that they might actually be under the control of a parasite, Toxoplasma gondii. It's not Mahatma Gandhi's superhero origin story. It's a parasite that reproduces inside the intestines of your cat. Well, if you get too close to the stuff, it grabs you like a senior on prom night. If you do catch it, well, it moves straight to your brain and steers you like a human dump truck to the nearest cat. And it makes you really want more cats. Lots of them. I think it might also make them have an Eastern European accent and listen to Barry Manilow at 7 a.m. Maybe that's just my next door neighbor. I don't know. But well, either way, try not to eat the kitty litter.
On the outside looking in, if you're standing straight, I spin. I'm as fly as crow, and you know it's so that I won't come down again. I'm a ne'er-do-never-well. I'm a fledgling plucked and fell. I'm a big old stone, and I'm rolling straight to hell.
You know, there's even something called outsider art now. Someone, somewhere along the way, noticed that, well, a lot of famous artists through history had toiled in obscurity. Ipso facto, artists in obscurity must be great, right? And, well, then we ended up with, you know, broken chair porch art from Arkansas and songs by schizophrenics on theremins. The hipsters eat it up. I think it's the internet's fault, really, though. I mean, discovery became part of the experience. And it's too easy to discover just a nice tune, you know? So you have to get weird, maybe Google up a Peruvian goat singer and then curate it all at your art gallery. The irony is that, well, the nice guy with the chops painting the beautiful sunset, well, he's the outsider now. When I turn on the cable news at night, well, they keep telling me that this year is the year of the outsider. Politics is up on its end as insurgent campaigns strike at the heart of the establishment. Sure, way outside, like two famous billionaires are the nominees, both with helmet hair. Seems like that's what America must want these days, helmet hair. But you and me, well, we're happy on the real outside, with George Carlin and Malcolm X and Harvey Milk. And now that it's basically over, well, we can just happily go back to knowing better and looking sideways at the squares. We're okay with being outsiders for another 4 years, I guess. Well, I know of another certain guy with long hair and wild ideas. A carpenter. His name was Ed. He fixed my fence. Bit of a lazy eye, a little crooked, but good guy nonetheless.
Shoe fly, go all alone, narrow on the river, lonely life.
There goes the outcast. Well, I say there's nothing wrong with eating a rat sandwich on a boxcar, or voting for the Communist Party, or dancing in town even though John Lithgow outlawed it. Footloose reference. So we're gonna head out to the fringes today and join the outsiders. Nashville singer-songwriter Darren Bradbury is joining us, and Phil Proctor and Jamie Elcroft are back with their boomers on a bench. Stick around, it's gonna be out there.
On the outside looking in, if you're standing straight I spin. I'm as fly as crow, and you know it so that I won't come down again. I'm a ne'er-do-never well, I'm a fledgling plucked and
well, we're going to have some music this week from a great singer-songwriter from the outskirts of Nashville. So let's head on up to the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead for a song from Darren Bradbury.
This next tune is about a guy who works at Staples. This is the story of Bob. I never knew his last name. I want to say he was born somewhere outside of Topeka, and when he was a kid, for some reason or another, his parents moved away. I heard him say his mother was a school teacher. But for the life of me, I can't remember which grade. And that his father managed a motel or an Applebee's out on the interstate. I wouldn't say that Bob was short, wouldn't say that Bob was tall. Wouldn't call Bob quiet, he wasn't very loud at all. Now he was just Bob, backwards and forwards. He was just Bob. Y'all are a smart audience. Around the office, we all thought Bob was a pretty swell dude. He was our go-to for a consistent and accurate weather update. Anytime a storm was coming through, someone would say we ought to go ask Bob. Bob surely knows what's up. He had a one-bedroom apartment with carpet in a pretty decent part of town. Said he had a couple upstairs neighbors who partied too much, but all in all, at the end of the day, they were a pretty decent crowd. Nothing like you folks. Just kidding. I wouldn't say that Bob was short. I wouldn't say that Bob was tall. I wouldn't call Bob quiet. He wasn't very loud at all. He was just Bob. Backwards and forwards, he was just Bob.
Well, I'm glad we could all take the time to gather here today.
Debbie, thanks for bringing the donuts. Well, it's a shame, you know, about the carbon monoxide leak, but I bet you good old Bob, the dude didn't even notice. So this jelly donut's for you, Bob. Yo, B.O.B. And every time I'm checking the weather, it'll feel like you're kind of awkwardly standing over me. Seriously, Bob, we all miss you here at Staples Corporate. I wouldn't say that Bob was short. Wouldn't say that Bob was tall. I wouldn't call Bob quiet. He wasn't very loud at all. Now he was just Bob. Backwards and forwards, he was just Bob. Thanks.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. This is Director of the FBI, James Comey, interviewing subject Hillary Rodham Clinton. Mrs. Clinton, do you acknowledge that this is being recorded and is on the record?
I don't recall.
You don't recall if you know it's being recorded?
I don't know.
So you don't know if you don't recall if you know or not?
I don't recall.
Okay, to clarify, this interview is being recorded as part of an ongoing investigation.
Security review.
This is FBI, Bureau of Investigation.
No, I'm pretty sure it is FBSR, Security Reviews.
All right, but you are aware that this is on the record?
I don't recall.
Okay, this is simple. You answer with a yes or a no. Do you acknowledge that this is being recorded and is on the record?
Possibly.
It's a yes or a no?
Not to my recollection.
Was that a yes or a no?
Yes.
Yes, it was a no?
No.
No, it wasn't a yes.
I don't recall.
All right. Moving on. Were you aware of the regulations relating to the storage of classified material on a private internet server?
Look, James, none of my communications were marked classified at the time.
I'd like to refer you to email number 22063, page 2, there at the bottom. There's a list of locations.
No! Oh, that is a simple personal daily schedule of errands and yoga classes.
In Afghanistan.
I don't recall.
You don't remember a yoga class in Kabul?
Not to my recollection.
Okay. So you were unaware of emails containing any classified information?
I've already stated none of the information was marked classified at the time.
Did you remove the markings?
What, with a cloth?
Is that supposed to be a yes?
I'm sorry, wait a second, James. I'm getting a text here.
Oh, come on.
Hang on, it's Bill.
Mrs. Clinton, please.
LOL, big dog.
Mrs. Clinton.
He'll be arresting sheep in Guam when I'm elected.
Come on, Mrs. Clinton, please.
All right. Where were we, James?
We were completing a serious interview.
Oh, so it's over.
No,
great.
Mrs. Clinton.
Huma, get the cart.
Mrs. Clinton, I'm going to ask you one more time. Were you aware of the rules pertaining to storing classified information on a personal internet server?
Look, James, I'm just a simple, everyday rube.
Oh, come
on. I don't know from techno this or computer that or security whatever.
So your defense is that you lack the basic understanding required to hold a security clearance.
Look. Jamesy, just fill out the rest as I don't recall, and we'll just forget this whole thing ever happened.
And how do I respond when someone asks me?
I don't recall. Right. Exactly.
My name is Bernie Sanders, and I approve this sketch.
Let's hitchhike back up to the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead for a couple more songs from Darren Bradbury.
Love songs. Anybody here in love? All right, this is for you then. Our love is like the meth lab in your mother's basement, crudely born from jugs, far too willing to explode. We weren't trying to get high. We were just trying to clean the kitchen. Struck the right combination. Yeah, and up there you go. 'Cause true love is gonna make you lose some teeth. And true love, you're 62 and 23. And true love, we'll always start off burning kind of sweet. Cause baby, I need you like I need a needle in my arm. We've been calling it a good time, but it's the farthest thing from fun. Well, I followed the track marks up the veins and through the blood. Now I'm sitting here wishing that I had never touched that stuff. 'Cause true love is gonna make you lose some teeth. And true love will really knock you off your feet. And true love will always start off burning kinda sweet. Now, this part is the sentimental part of the song. It's the verse my mom likes the best. Says, why can't the rest of the verses be like that verse? How I wish I could get back to when love was just a toke of something green like your eyes, honey and gold like your hair. And we could always laugh even when there was no joke. We'd lie lazy round like cats. We're not going anywhere. 'Cause true love is gonna make you lose some teeth. True love, you're 62 and 23. And true love, we'll always start off burning kind of sweet. So sweet. Just like meth. Boy, your sister's homemade brownies. 'Cause that stuff smells like meth. Ah, shucks. This next song is a protest song disguised as a love song, disguised as a protest song about the postgraduate student housing crisis we are facing in America. It's a long-winded way of saying it's about a girl. It's called Sophie's Got a Brand New Apartment.
Music.
Sophie's got a brand new apartment. We've been sleeping on the hardwood floors. She keeps talking about a big brass bed, but I really don't know what for. Yeah, my back may break and twist like a pretzel. Quality mattress be far more comfortable. If things got too easy, then we get in trouble and forget what we're doing this for. Yeah, cause Sophie's got a brand new apartment. We've been sleeping on the hardwood floors. She keeps flipping through the want ads. I keep strumming on all these chords. We'll get it together, we'll pay the rent. And if things get bad, I'll sell this git. And we'll both have jobs soon and I'll get it back from the Blue Diamond Pawn Shop store. Yeah, cause Sophie's got a brand new apartment. We've been sleeping on the hardwood floors. Sophie's got a brand new apartment. We've been sleeping on the hardwood floors. Yeah, we got everything we need. Unpaid internships, day drunk dreams, smelly plumbing, fickle heat, rolling cigarettes with these useless degrees we bought. Well, I guess it's dead do us part. Yeah, cause Sophie's got a brand new apartment. We've been sleeping on the hardwood floors. Sophie's got a brand new apartment. We've been sleeping on the hardwood floors. Sleeping on the hardwood floors. Sleeping on the hardwood floors.
Thank you very much.
The schoolyard is home to an island of Dr. Moreau-like array of runny-nosed short pantsers. The toughest kid around is still an octave above Mike Tyson. Well, the smartest is probably about as dumb as your golden doodle. But it's all taken perfectly seriously from the inside. Kid code is just as real as law, and those who don't fit in eat lunch at the last table. Now, I woke up every morning in the 1980s fifth grade by lying upside down on the couch and scooping big handfuls of gel onto my head. You had to let gravity do the work, you know, get those big Billy Idol spikes up high and proud. At least until next week, when the girl you're trying to impress starts liking long-haired rockers. Or even more difficult, ponies. Pop a cassette into the oversized blue Walkman and strut cool and stupid onto the grass until the first bell. Ah, those long weekend screens, glowing silver and explosion red with Arnold and Sly. And it was impossible for a jet to fly anywhere without an electric guitar riff. And kerchiefs went on heads and in back pockets. Well, they never just plain kerchiefed. And on that second snuck-in screen, teens joined cliques, and they had breakfast clubs, and they were pretty in pink. And at the end of everything, well, the weirdo always showed up in the last reel looking great, just in time for that big slow-clap victory speech and a date with the one they weren't supposed to be rich enough to get. After 3 hours in the school asbestos chamber, the socialist Ontario government mandated outdoor activity. Well, they niced up the competition so much that they actually just called the event Participaction, subtitle Get With The Action, a series of physical challenges to encourage not being so fat. I wasn't good at that part. And no matter how high you jumped or how fast you ran, y'all got the same red ribbon. Participated! Exclamation point. Well, everyone except for Weird Eddie, across the field. All alone, sitting out the races on account of his broken arm. Now, school weeks were 5 days and 1,000 years long. Saturdays were BMX bikes, riding down the hill, swerving left, right, cut the air left, right, down to the crosswalk corner store for Lick-A-Maids and Billy Club licorice bats and Big League Chew bubble gums,
for Stand By Me-style kid trips to abandoned factories or to the empty bandstand in the park. And then cutting it close and pedaling like mad up the hill to skid sliding the bike down the alley and into the front door just before the street lights were officially off. You'd have to pry me up with heavy leverage and a stick. Monday morning was the last place on earth any bad kid ever wanted to be. I'd sleepwalk down to the TV and hang out as long as I could for the preschool cartoons. Waited out until the Japanese imports came on at 8:30. You know, I never saw a single ending to an Astro Boy cartoon in all my 12 years. A miserable, sleepy foot drag right at 5 to 9 before the episode ended, the excruciating 2 blocks to my school. Well, I was always late, but never the latest. Weird Eddie always managed to outdo me and soften the blow. He'd stroll in looking shifty, a green army jacket, mismatched shoes. Always, just as I was about to get heck, well, there was Eddie to do even worse, God bless him. A misfit kid is desperately attracted to lighters. Even just scratching their finger across the wheel and sparking the flint, it seems to keep them happy for hours. But if 1,000 after-school specials had taught me anything, it's that you can't judge a book by its cover. And that those outcast kids were just special inside, and well, they only needed a friend. So cue the Helen Reddy tune, I'm going in. Well, seeing poor Eddie always on the outside like that, it hit a soft spot in my heart. I'll bet he's cool or smart or funny. Maybe he programs Ataris or builds robots in his garage. He just needs a friend. It's a heady risk, laying it on the line like that, and sitting down with the weirdo. First, you don't know if he's going to shank you. Second, if you survive, if the other kids catch wise, well, before you know it, you're shunned, and you have a new nickname pinned to your back. But no, I'm not going to fall for that preppy nonsense. I know that this kid has a heart, and so do I. You know, I'm going to make his day a little brighter by sparking up a nice conversation. Hey, Eddie, what is that? This? It's Play-Doh. Oh, yeah, you making something? Uh-huh. Plastic explosive. All right, I guess he's just a little, you know, curious and creative. Cool, cool. So what are you up to this weekend?
Nothing.
Well, you want to hang out?
Sure. Why don't you come over? My mom's, she's working, and my dad is away.
It's a date. Well, date, not so much date, more a thing. We'll call it a thing. If you let me, I can be your good friend. I walk through the colored leaves streets, soft focus edges, and an alto flute score, off to find the warm place in the secret heart of the outcast kid. Oh, I'm such a good kid, right? 117C Belfair. Oh, I see 117, so I guess C's around the back.
Come on in. You want to see something neat?
Oh, here we go. Here come the robots, right? But Weird Eddie quickly lived up to his name, and, well, he showed me how he'd secretly wired up his house with old phone receivers. Oh, what are those for?
To spy on my mom.
All right. Warm heart. Warm heart.
You want to see my cat?
There it is. Of course, he's an animal lover.
With an oven mitt. If I wear this, he can't get me.
Well, I had no idea that cats' tails were attached that well, but I didn't want to stick around and find out. So, as Weird Eddie swung Miss Missy around above his head, I decided to leave the outsider outside and run back home to the inside.
Ring the bell, spill the kids in the yard. My friend, I'm as old as you are. Hours and hours playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS would like to welcome KPIP in Fayette, Missouri to the program. Well, we're happy to be on the air out there, and well, we hope we can keep you entertained. Now, for the folks in California, I'll be appearing on an episode of Says You,
recorded in San Bernardino, California on June 25th. Visit kvcr.org for information about how to attend. We're also going to be taping a really fun episode at the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead on Saturday, July 23rd. We've got a great singer-songwriter. Jordy Lane is with us all the way from Australia, and Phil Proctor and Jamie Elcroft are back with their Boomers on a Bench. Visit the website for information about how to attend. Well, we're back here on the inside, on the outside episode of American Parlor Songbook. So let's head outside or inside up to the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead for Phil Proctor and Jamie Alcroft's Boomers on a Bench.
Yeah, do me a favor and put the dog food in the garage because I think they're going to steam clean the apartment building tomorrow. And, I left the mail in the basket by the door. Not the longer burger basket, but the little one with the ribbon on it. If you can get that out, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome. How do you expect me to do all that? I don't even know where you live.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't talking to you. I was performing text with my wife.
Do you do that often?
As often as we can.
You must be exhausted.
Yeah.
So you got yourself a new phone finally, huh?
Yeah, it's a 6.
I
really love it.
You had a 5.
I dumped the old one.
Yeah, it was a 5.
No, actually, it was a 2.
A 2?
Yeah. Yeah, I had the iPhone 2.
Did it run on coal or steam?
Wind, I think. It wasn't that old.
We got a lot of wind at our age.
Yeah. No, it was great. It had, my iTunes was an 8-track, and I had a built-in fax machine, and all my texts were Post-its. It was so simple.
I know what you mean. This new technology just drives me crazy.
Yeah, well, the new technology saved my life. Don't knock it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got a new pacemaker recently. Yeah. How long did the old one last?
Just long enough. Funny you should ask. No, this time I spent the big bucks and I got the top-of-the-line model. You know, I got XM Sirius radio, dual climate control, and I sprung for OnStar.
OnStar?
Yeah, I don't know where I am held. Half the time, last week I locked myself out of my bathrobe, pushed a button, and she let me right in. It was great.
Oh, look here. The guy who invented the birth control pill died yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was survived by no one.
Oh. That's sad.
Yeah.
Small funeral, I guess. Oh, geez, I didn't see that coming. Oh, God.
What is so funny?
I just told myself an old joke.
Well, if it was an old joke, what are you laughing about?
I just never heard it told that way before.
here's an ad here for Pesto's Kosher Italian Restaurant.
Ooh, I love that place.
Yeah, the last time I was there, I ordered the halibut from a waitress.
Yeah.
But another server, who is not our waitress, brought the food and asked, who ordered the halibut? I had to order it twice. Drives me crazy.
Really? That drives you crazy?
It does.
Well, I walk into a restaurant with my wife. There's usually some other couples behind us.
Yeah.
You know, and the hostess always goes, are you together? Yeah. And I say, me? I am so totally untogether. I can't tell you. I could lose it any minute. You better see the snatch from the emergency exit.
Hey, you must get a great laugh.
Yeah, you think. But the hostesses these days have incredible self-control. Yeah. You know, you got to be careful what you say to people these days.
Oh, hell, at my age, I just say whatever the hell I want to anybody I want to say it to.
Yeah, I've noticed. You know, last Christmas, I went to the mall, and, you know, there was no parking spot, so
never
I had to
is,
cruise
yeah.
around a little bit. Yeah. Finally, I saw this guy getting into his car, so I pulled over, put my turn signal on, yeah. and I waited. And as he pulled out, this guy in a BMW pulls in.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Stole my parking spot. So I rolled down the window. I said, hey, dude, I've been waiting for this parking spot for 10 minutes. He said, tough luck, old man. You snooze, you lose. Jeez, what do you say? What'd you do? I said, yeah, right. Well, Merry Christmas. Yeah. God. He flips me the bird. Nice guy, huh?
Terrible, terrible.
So I found another spot. I did my errands, you know, and when I'm walking out, he's sitting at the Cheesecake Factory with a couple of girls. Yeah. He's sipping on this big pink lemonade.
Yeah.
You know, so I went to the parking lot and I left a note on his windshield.
What did you say?
I said, hey, Mr. BMW, I'm so glad I got that part-time job at the Cheesecake Factory so I could pee in your pink lemonade. Oh, I hope you enjoyed it.
Now you're making me thirsty.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Merry Christmas from your snoozing loser. Yeah. That's what
you're
I wrote.
You're bad. You know that.
I know, man.
You're still a bit of a revolutionary.
I am. Totally. Yeah. Right on, you know? I survived a sexual revolution. I got gassed in Vietnam War protests and riots.
The Kennedy assassination.
Jeez. Oh, that was so sad. His birthday's coming up May 29th.
Oh, that's
Kennedy.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Remember where you were November 22nd?
Oh, gosh, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And do you remember those crazy coincidences? Like Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln.
Right, right. Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy.
And they both had vice presidents named Johnson.
Yeah, I know. But did you know that Lee Harvey Oswald's wife was named Marina?
Yeah.
And John Wilkes Booth's wife went to school with a girl whose parents owned a boat that they kept in a marina.
That is just nuts.
Crazy, isn't it?
Really?
It's crazy. Abraham Lincoln, born in his father's log cabin.
Yeah.
John Kennedy once spilled log cabin syrup in his father's Lincoln.
Shut that screen door!
Yeah, no kidding.
Whoa.
Day before he was shot,
yeah,
Lincoln was in Monroe, Maryland. Day before he was shot, JFK was in
Virginia.
No, Virginia was with, that singer, that guy. Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Gosh, yeah. I am so bad at remembering names these days.
Well, my wife always introduces herself first, and then I get the other person's name.
That's great. Great system. What do you do when she's not there, though?
Well, I use a visualization technique. Mm-hmm. Let's say I meet a lady named Dorothy Snowden.
Okay.
All right. Well, I just dress her up in my mind to look like Judy Garland.
You're dressing up women in your mind?
Yeah, well, you know. I put her in a pair of ruby slippers, and she's got a little dog.
Oh, great, great. Dorothy.
Dorothy. Wizard of Oz. Judy Garland. Right, okay. And then her last name, I'll imagine a pile of snow on her head.
Yeah, Snowden. Dorothy Stone.
I don't care how many years later, if I run into this woman, I can walk up to her and I can say, well, if it isn't Toto Slushhead. How you doing?
That's funny. Oh,
hey, it looks like it's going to rain.
Yeah, I know.
Lightning. Wow.
Boy.
Scary.
Count the thunder.
Well,
boy, I
will see you tomorrow, same time, same bench.
We'll do it again. Didn't I dress you up at some point?
No, now don't start.
Okay.
Come on, let's go.
All right.
The Boomers on a Bench will be back with us live in Lake Arrowhead on Saturday, July 23rd. We'd love to see you there. Let's have one more song from Darren Bradbury.
My name is Darren Bradbury, and this song is called Life is Hard, the Ballad of Jack Kerouac, Lenny Bruce, and Daffy Duck.
Can't
Kerouac died with the TV on in his mother's house in Florida. His liver was yellow and his wallet was broke. He hated hippies and he loved the Pope. Life is hard. Ah, heck, man, life is hard. It's funny where it stops. It's funny where it starts. The whole thing in the middle. Yeah, it's bound to break your heart. Life is hard. 'Cause the cops, they found Lenny on the bathroom floor. Guess the court transcripts weren't funny no more. Subpoenas ain't setups. The stand ain't a show. I guess naked on the floor was his last dirty joke. Life is hard. Ah, heck, man, life is hard. It's funny where it stops. It's funny where it starts. The whole thing in the middle, yeah, it's bound to break your heart. Life is hard. This is the takeaway. Everyone I know is full of it, but it's the only surefire way to tell if someone human. Life is hard. I'd just like to thank you all for having me, and you've been a wonderful audience, so have a great night. In the famous last words, a Daffy Duck, it's the best trick I know, but I can only do it once. The pills and the suit, we're all ready to go. There ain't nothing you can do if the rabbit steals the show. Life is hard. Ah, heck, man, life is hard. It's funny where it stops. It's funny where it starts. The whole thing in the middle. Yeah, it's bound to break your heart. Life is hard. Thank you very much.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. And thanks to our guests, Phil Proctor and Jamie Alcroft with their Boomers on a Bench. And of course, Darren Bradbury. We'll be back next week with a fun show. Be sure to tune in. American Parlor Songbook is produced by the American Parlor Company, available on PRX and presented by KVCR. You can find information about the program at AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Wendell!
We'll return next week with another fun show.
Wendell!
Come up to a taping sometime.
Wendell!
Yes, Mother, what is it?
How do I tweet?
Climb a tree and ask a bird.
No, you techno rube. Tweet on the Worldwide Information Supernet.
Upgrading from stone tablets, are we?
Whatever. I've been logging on now for weeks. I even have my own electronic mailbox.
Let me guess. Crazy Old Lady 37 at steamengine.com.
Try Ingenue 92 at Model Mayhem.
92, your age.
No, the year I was born.
Mother, no one is going to believe you're 23 years old.
It's called Photo Store, Wendell. Look it up.
Shop, Martha.
No, on the supernet, you goon.
All right, you're 23. Now, may I please get some sleep?
No, not until you help me tweet.
Well, you're squawking now. Does that count?
Will you just get out of bed and help me with these buttons?
All right, here we go.
Okay, look, I'm still logged on to my account.
Screen legend Martha Young. Oh, brother.
Now, I want to tweet it. So what do I do?
Let's see here. The button there, you press that.
What about the words?
You type them, Martha.
With what?
The keyboard there.
What, this thing?
Yes.
Oh, Lance only showed me the gerbil.
The what?
The gerbil, you moron. Click, click.
Oh, the mouse.
Whatever.
Well, next to that mouse there is a keyboard. Those funny shapes on the keys, those are letters.
I know what letters are, you fruit.
Well, good. Then you press them and you make words, and then you push that button on the screen there that says tweet.
All right. Hello, losers. I'm Martha Young. Read it and weep and tweet. And tweet. It's not tweet. Now, tweet, 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 tweet. It's not working.
Don't press on the screen, Martha. Use the mouse.
The what?
The gerbil.
Well, why didn't you say so? And, tweeted.
Success. You've told your 5 followers they're losers. Mission accomplished, I guess.
What 5?
You have 5 people in your lonely audience.
That's 5K, you nitwit, as in 1,000.
How on earth did you convince 5,000 strangers to look at your ramblings?
Randall helped me.
That fraud. What did he put you up to this time?
He simply helped me post a little picture, retweeted it to his followers, and voila, 5K, baby.
I'm afraid to ask. What picture?
Yeah, this one.
What am I looking at there?
I'm not surprised you don't recognize the female form.
What form?
Do I have to spell it out for you?
I think so.
It starts with a B and it ends with an oozum.
Oh, good Lord.
The twits seem to enjoy it.
Did you read the comments?
The what? The
comments. Look below the picture there.
Oh, I love it when people talk about me.
We'll see about that. Here's one. LOL granny skin.
What granny?
You granny.
Oh, well, the screen must be broken.
Here's another. Barf. Rotten pancakes.
Oh, well, they're just jealous.
You know, Mother, a little modesty wouldn't hurt.
If you've got it, flaunt it.
For the whole world to see.
Well, why not?
Do you have to show them everything?
Minute by minute, Wendell. Randall says I can become a famous meme.
Meme? With suspenders and white makeup?
Meme, old man. It's what all the young people are talking about.
Photos of old lady parts.
And plates of food and selfers.
What is a selfer?
It's where you hold the camera up like this, then you tilt your head down, you stick your lips out, and snap a JPEG for the Instagrams.
And this ridiculous monkey face, it makes you a meme.
I think so.
I don't understand.
Well, the kids seem to.
Just picture after picture of your pasty white skin, and they love it.
Will you give me a little credit for versatility? Randall captured the entire party tonight.
That charlatan is just trying to exploit you again.
Randall... What exploit?
Where do I begin? Your baby Jane float in the Pride Parade? Or what about the adult diapers commercial? Or your failed Bravo pilot?
I can out-tramp any of those housewives.
Real Old Ladies of Hollywood was filmed on a cellular phone and consisted mostly of you falling and Randall voguing.
Bravo seemed to like it.
They threw you out of the building.
Yes, but they filmed it.
For evidence.
Evidence of excellence.
Excellence such as attempting to bribe the executives with a lap dance.
Randall said to go big.
He is not out for your best interest.
Every diva needs a swishy sycophant by her side.
Yes, but not one sneaking up behind them with a knife.
Oh, you are such a drama queen.
All right, not a knife, but here, a plate of mashed potatoes.
What are you talking about?
Right there, 1:45 a.m., that pic titled, see, Sleeping Beauty. There you are with a crown of mashed potatoes on your head.
Yes, and I'm hilarious.
You're unconscious.
I'm hilarious in my sleep.
But what about this one?
Ooh, edgy, I like it.
Mother, you're half naked on the balcony. Now, if I recall, you were singing It's Raining Men at the top of your lungs and attempting to toss guests over the railing.
There was a pool below.
Yes, thankfully for Elton's poor puppy dog.
That ugly mutt can swim.
We were more concerned if it could fly.
Blah, 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 blah. She loves me. Oh, and there's the picture that proves it.
She's showing you her teeth.
Smiling.
Right, let's continue with our little slideshow of horrors, shall we?
What is that?
That would be you, my darling wife, bottomless, with your head in the toilet.
Oh, erase that one. I don't like it.
All right, let's see. I just clicked the trash and, well, there, it's all gone.
No, it's still there.
Oh, no.
What? What?
I'm sorry, Martha. I'm afraid it might be worse than I thought.
What? Well, spit it out.
It appears as though these people here, all these people, they've reappropriated your little display.
What do you mean?
Well, look.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yes, pages of them. There you are with your head in a velociraptor, and there you are in space, and there you are with that Kardashian's bottom.
Where's my head?
Look closer.
Oh, how dare they?
Well, Martha, you might have been asking for it.
Well, take them down.
It doesn't work that way.
That Randall. Oh, I will kill him!
I warned you.
Oh, I'm ruined, Wendell!
Oh, come now, Martha, listen. You've come back from far worse than this. Thankfully, it only took some handy PR work, and then, as always, you recovered.
Yes, but that was before all of this technology. Once it was done forever.
Times have changed, Martha. If you put it out there...
Any buffoon could just... use me for their own amusement.
Hold on, maybe that's it.
That's why.
Here, look. Free autographed 8x10
for the best meme and tweet.
Well, what are you doing? No, you'll encourage them.
Yes, exactly. Perhaps if you embrace it, well, maybe you can make it your own. You know, show them who's boss.
Oh, I see.
Yes, we'll see who has the real sense of humor.
Run with it.
Yes, you're getting the picture now.
The picture.
Yes.
Open it up.
All right.
Now put one of those little thought bubbles.
All right.
Now write in it E equals MC squared.
Oh, that's good.
Hilarious.
Yes. Should I post it then?
No, wait. Put the whole thing on Kim Kardashian's bottom.
Oh, they're going to love
that. Now post it.
Wait, one more thing.
What?
Let me join you there. Here I am. We'll just perch me on the edge of that toilet bowl there, and perfect.
Oh, that's nice.
You mean it's funny, dear?
No, I mean it's sweet, joining me on the wall of shame.
Well, I like to stand by my woman, even if it is on the edge of a toilet.
My hero.
Well, now we just wait for the hits to roll in. We turn this thing around, one self-effacing click at a time. And then when they're all looking, we hit them with a song.
Oh, a song. Let's do it now. Cabaret.
Patience, Martha. Let it simmer.
Oh, no. I can't wait.
It's okay. We'll just get some rest. And when we get up in the morning, right in the middle of their boring work days, we'll hit them with it.
No, now, Wendell. New York, New York.
In the morning, dear. Get some rest for that voice. You're going to need it for Oops, I Did It Again.
Perfect.
Yes, with a swing beat.
A smush-up.
Oh, no, it's called a mash-up, I think.
I'll wear my white dress and a tiara.
Yes, dear, yes, in the morning.
Oh, my mind is racing, Wendell.
I know just the thing, then.
Barbiturates?
Close.
Second arm?
No. A burcuse.
Oh, is that a benzo?
No, it's a lullaby, Martha.
Perfect.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We burn the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret, 'cause I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.